Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Come with me on a journey into the mind, into the misunderstood and mysterious world of neurodiversity. Into a place of daring discovery and desperate darkness, but also, you know, fun. Come with me if you dare. Into the universe.
Episode 6, The Forest of Forbidden Phrases. Ooh, it's a funny title, isn't it? Immediately, it sounds a little bit saucy, but it's not. Oh, it is slightly saucy, but not as saucy as you might want. I know some of you are sat there going, oh, come on then, let's have the sauce, Colin. That's why we came. That's why we entered the Neuroverse, for sauce. We wanted sauce. We're lonely. Our lives are empty. We have no sauce. We have no sauce. Not one bit of us is saucy. Or get sourced anymore. Those days are long gone, Colin. Colin, those days are long gone. Welcome to Into the Neuroverse. Okay, up top, full disclaimer. God, I've never been one of those people who say full disclaimer. Full disclaimer. You hear a lot of those sort of phrases working in the industry. One that I hear a lot of is, I'll circle round and come back to you, which usually means, you haven't got the job, Colin. But, you know, it's a sort of, I guess it's sort of delaying the pain. You know, you sort of go, have you heard about the job I went for? You know, the acting job that I went up for, where I would be a sort of space marine. I thought I'd be very good at that, actually. I wore a black T-shirt that was quite tight and made it look like I had muscles that I don't. And I spoke in a sort of American accent. My attempt at American accent, you know, oh my God, you know, that kind of, you know how Americans, you know what they're like. God, awful. You mustn't be careful. But anyway, and then, you know, they go, oh, we haven't heard yet. I tell you what, I'll check in and circle back round to you. Which I've come to learn means no, Colin, you will not be a space marine. Not this time. Not this time. Right, so yes, full disclaimer at the top. Welcome to Into the Neuroverse. If you've listened before, then you're very used to this, and I'm fucking surprised that you're back. I really am. I listened back to some of them, and I was like, who listens to this? Actually, I listened back to them. I thought, oh, this is quite good, actually. I quite like this. Some of this is quite good. So what is this show? Let me explain, in case you don't know. It's me, Colin Holt, actor. Come on. Space Marine, sometimes. Sometimes I play Anna Mann. I often dip into Anna Mann's voice. I'm trying to find my own voice. It's very hard, having spent my whole life denying my own voice. Oh, you poor soul, you denied your voice. Say it isn't so. You denied your voice. That's the real victim of the climate disaster. A man in his 40s feeling he had his voice denied. But no, I don't feel I had my voice denied as such. It was encouraged in many ways. But for various reasons, which we're sort of unpicking slowly but surely, I have played many characters and been many guises and acted many parts, but struggled to speak as myself, you know? And now I'm being a stand-up. I'm out there being Colin, out on stage in my new show. And it's great. It's lovely fun. And I have ADHD. That's why I've already forgotten what I started talking about at the start of this sentence. Oh, yeah. So the point is I'm me, Colin, and I talk about ADHD, which I have, autism, which I am on the journey to discovering if I definitely have. I'm pretty sure I do have. A lot of people self-identify as neurodiverse nowadays, which is absolutely fair enough. But I feel I want a little bit of, like, I want some sort of official person to tell me so. And then I go, thank you. I knew I was. So this series of podcasts is me going into the Neuroverse, as I call it. Someone's probably come up with that before. I did Google it. I can't really find anything. But anyway, don't worry about that. Come on, move on, Colin, quickly. I go on a lot of diversions. Anyway, and I do some writing about what it means to be neurodiverse, the struggle with being in the neurotypical world, how we can navigate it. I sometimes have some tips and tricks and tits. No tits. I think I've done that joke before. Doesn't matter. Move on. Come on. Keep going. Now, and yes, hopefully you all have fun and listen to this. And it's a little distraction from the fact that the world is boiling and we probably have under 10 years left. Under a tenner. But, you know, we keep going because we live because we must. That went bleak. I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I'm very terrified about the climate emergency. I'm not going to go into it today because I spent a lot of my recent time going over it. So full disclaimer, I still haven't done the full disclaimer because I went off on that track about Space Marines and so on and so forth. And the other one people say, my lovely producer Owen says this a lot, and I'm putting this in because I don't think he's listening to this and I want to see if he is. So if you are, Owen, you tell me you've heard this. Not if you are Owen, if you are listening, Owen. Owen's a wonderful man, by the way. Very young, only 30, but he's got the brain of a 75-year-old. He's brilliant, he really is. But he says, I wonder if there's a world where... ... I love that. Isn't that brilliant? That's some proper multiverse sort of stuff, isn't it? And it will be about, you know, me doing the show, and he's sort of like, I wonder if there's a world where you're Anna and then you're you or something, you know, or I wonder if there's a world where this is a lot funnier, that sort of thing. But sometimes he'll just say it about... I say it now because he's stuck it in my head. As we talked about, the bad mantras might as well be dead. This is a fine mantra. This is not a particularly bad one or not a particularly good one, but, you know, it's stuck is the point. And so you say things... I said the other day something like, I wonder if there's a world where we get the oat milk from Aldi and the normal milk from Waitrose. I said that sentence. A world. Imagine a world. So you've got the whole multiverse, the endless multiverse, where anything is possible. You know, worlds where dinosaurs evolved like humans, worlds where frogs evolved like humans, you know, worlds where humans evolved like frogs. You have the whole multiverse, and there's a mutiverse, of course, where we're all mutants, etc. But anyway, we'll come back to that. But... the world I chose to describe of all that multiverse is a world where we buy oat milk from Aldi and Waitrose supplies our normal milk. I think you all know why. I think that's not only the worst thing I've ever said, certainly the most Brightonian thing I've ever said, certainly the most privileged thing I've ever said. Well, is it, though? Because... you know, it all stems from the fact... I hope... is anyone with me at this point? Is anyone with... but it all stems from the fact that Waitrose... they're... okay, so Aldi... okay, we've gone very off track here, but essentially, Aldi, I don't think, do organic cow's milk. My daughter will only have organic cow's milk. The rest of us... my son's dairy-free, you see, and my wife's dairy-free, so I've become dairy-free, you know, much like Samuel L. Jackson's character in Pulp Fiction. Come on, you idiot, what are you talking about? Oh, God, we're 7 minutes in. But, yes, so, you know, so it's telling you a lot, isn't it, the fact that I buy from I've spread across there, aren't I? I'm doing what we... oi, I get it all from... Waitrose if I could. All right, I've said it. I'll get it all from Waitrose if I could. That said, I did reverse my car in the Waitrose car park into a Waitrose van, and there's a big old dent in the back, and I'm just not getting it cleaned, fixed. This is a neurodiverse thing, I think. You know, people who weren't like us would really get that fixed, wouldn't they? But to me, the car is... it's just a means of getting around. I don't even feel it really exists. You know what I mean? It obviously exists, but it's like... Can you imagine giving a shit about that? I can't. The only thing I do give a shit about is that every time someone walks past, they go, "You've got a dent in the car." And I go, "Yes, yes, I know. I know I've got a dent in the car. I know I've got a dent in the car. And I would fix it. I would fix it. But the steps, with ADHD, the steps, you know, the first step, call a garage or whatever. That's awful. Having to deal with you know what it is with garage people. I'm not against garage people. I'm against the fact that there is built into my brain computer, there is the idea that they're probably going to somehow cheat me because I look like I think what's called a mark in crime stuff. I look like a mark. They see me coming. They see me coming a long way. That's the thing. And I don't have the knowledge or courage to say, I think you're charging me too much there. Oh, God, where have we gone to? Okay, are you still with? We're 10 minutes in. So this is what usually happens. Okay, now, okay, full disclaimer. If I could just circle back to full disclaimer. Imagine a world. Oh, God, they're all coming out now. Imagine a world where I do shop at Asda sometimes, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there just in case you think I'm dreadfully privileged. I mean, I think I am very privileged. But I came from a deeply working class background and it was absolute hell. What am I talking about? Full disclaimer, circling back to what I started talking about. Full disclaimer. Okay, so this, the setup of the Into the Neuroverse set series, as you can see, the Nottingham's coming out now. Basically, I have to do the mask of Anna Mann for a bit, basically, is what we're learning. And then Colin slowly emerges like a butterfly from a sort of weird Dame Edna tribute act type thing. Right, a couple of things. Full disclaimer, circling back, blah, blah, blah. The idea of the show is that I do two like this, where I give you a semi-stream of consciousness, semi-written. I do actually write some of this. It's not Hemingway. Fuck, it's not Hemingway. Jesus, it's not Hemingway. And I think no one. Does anyone like Hemingway? Yes, a lot of people. The first half is like this. I chat away. I talk about what I've been up to recently in a sort of neurodiverse way and try to understand that and try to, you know, communicate that. And then I read a thing I've written. This week it's on the Forest of Forbidden Phrases. That's normally what we do every week. Now, and then on the third week we have an interview. Okay, so I was going to have an interview with a wonderful comedian called Crystal Evans. And the internet decided to kick me in the eye. It really did, the fucker. And it didn't work. The Zoom did not work. So instead, very last minute, it's 7:15. I'm recording the night before it goes out. So apologies to Patreon people. It's probably not going to get to you before it gets to everyone else. If it does, it'll be like at 1 a.m. So if you listen to it then, you're mad. Joe Swan. So yes, it's not the interview. It's very late. It's quite rushed. I'm having a lot of fun already. I was hoping it would all just come together. I have got the Forest of Forbidden Phrases to read. I haven't checked it. I could be saying all sorts of mad shit. I've got some things I want to talk about. So strap in and listen. And we'll do that interview with Crystal Evans and other people at a later date. I might end up doing the interview thing as one strand. This as another strand. Who knows? The world is our oyster. And let's get it all out before, you know, our 10 years are up. Don't talk about it, Colin. Don't talk about the climate crisis. So, yes, apologies if you were desperate to get an interview. But it's another one of these, this bollocks. So, yes, yeah, so I'll talk a bit about Crystal first. So Crystal's currently at the Edinburgh Festival. Which she's doing very well. She's doing a brilliant show. I saw her at MacFest, which is a great festival, I think I've mentioned before, and she was on the showcase doing 10 minutes. And it really got me because I haven't seen her full show myself. I'm hoping to see it when I go up to Edinburgh. Oh, spoiler! I'll talk about that in a second. But anyway, I only saw this 10 minutes and it was among, you know, the lovely MacFest. In MacFest, it's all very kind of, oh, it's all a bit, whoa, we're all a bit wee, you know, and everyone's lovely. It's all lovely, lovely. And what was quite exciting was Crystal Evans came out and she talked about trauma and pain and horror. And it was so sort of exciting because it really helped me. And this is what I'm going to talk to her about, because when I come out and do stand up as myself, I often come away feeling quite dirty and quite sinful. It's a sin, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, because I feel like I'm talking about real things that I'm not supposed to. I have to talk as, you know, in silly, silly ways, Anna Mann ways and all that stuff. And then she did a Guardian interview where she talked about her past, and my wife sent, and the show and what it's all about. My wife sent it to me in a kind of like, oh, this sounds quite fun to you. And I saw it. I came out of yoga. So I was already very vulnerable. Yoga, Waitrose, fuck. I came out of yoga very vulnerable, and I read this Guardian interview, fucking great, oh, with Crystal, and it completely floored me. And the bit that got me really was when she talks about moving away from her family to live with her grandparents, I think, and how suddenly she was aware there are people who are stable and normal and just do normal things, and there's a sort of security. And that really floored me. And genuinely, I lost a couple of days. A couple of days just went through sheer, I don't know. Well, when I have the interview with Crystal Evans, you'll find out. We'll talk about it. And that will hopefully all come across there. So yes, as the spoiler said, I'm doing some Edinburgh shows. I'm really enjoying my new show. It's about me. Yay. And it's about ADHD and autism. Me trying to understand if I do have autism. I have many reasons to think why. I'm very good. You know how autistic people can, you might have seen where sometimes they can see a thing, you know, and just go away and draw it. Like, say, the Taj Mahal. You just see the Taj Mahal, you go away and draw it. And I can do that. So that's one thing. I just, you know, I can look at something like the Taj Mahal and then go away and just sit there, draw the whole thing. And it looks awful. Okay, it looks absolutely nothing. You would never know it was the Taj Mahal, to be honest. It'd probably be better if I hadn't seen it. Just got a pen and gone, you know. But so I don't have that particular, probably mostly fictional trait. Not mostly fictional, as in probably, I don't think most autistic people do have that. I think that's probably a very rare and wonderful thing. That was a little joke. It was actually a little sample from my new show, which is evolving and changing. It's gone. Originally, it was called Colin, and it was just about Colin coming out of Anna and me being Colin. Very, God, very, very narcissistic, isn't it? But, you know, we're comedians. We can be. We're allowed to be. We're encouraged to be. But now it's become My Boy, is what I'm currently calling it. And it's about me and my dad and my boy, my son, and the journey between us and autism and ADHD and all that stuff. I'm really, really enjoying it. I did some of it at a show. I did a little bit last night, actually, at a great gig. A little shout out to the Secret Comedy Club in Brighton. It was just a new material gig, and I went out. Very strange moment. This was quite a neurodiverse moment, I think, but I saw a man in the audience who I was convinced was one of my best friends from Manchester, when I studied at Manchester, who I haven't seen for years and years. He looked so much like him, and it sort of took over the set a bit. It was very weird. I kept talking about it. And he, bless him, looked absolutely, he was like, no, I'm not him. Oh, I know you're probably a bit worried about Colin now. I am starting to have these slight moments of disconnect, I won't lie, which I know can be an autistic trait, of genuinely just going, is this real? Is any of this real? I know that sounds very weird. I'm being very honest with you. I was sat in therapy the other day, back at therapy. That's going great. Highly recommended if you can do it. Bang, Waitrose, bang, therapy, bang, yoga. And I had a moment where I was just looking at his plant in his, and I just, he said, are you all right? Which, I mean, like, you know, for therapy. No, I mean, I'm in therapy. No, actually, do you know what? I think everyone should do therapy, whoever you are. And there are ways and means to get cheaper therapy. You know, you don't have to spend an absolute fortune. Anyway, yes, yeah, so I saw this plant and I was just staring at his plant and I suddenly, everything felt unreal. I thought, is any of, am I even here? Am I even in this room? It's a very weird moment. And I said it to him. I thought, should I even say this? You know, you remember from episode one, they're coming to take me away. But he said, well, I think what it is, it's your creativity coming out. You know, I've had a very blocked time. I think I've talked about this. I haven't gone into detail, but for a few ugly reasons, I had a blocked time shall we say, where I, after my show finished, things got very hard up in the brain box, in the brain attic, for a few reasons. And I'm starting to come out of it. The creativity's starting to flow. And he said, it's just your flow. It's just, you know, you're just experiencing things differently. You're experiencing the world slightly differently because you're thinking in that creative way rather than in you know, the bad mantras, the dark voices kind of way. He didn't say it like that. I'm completely paraphrasing. But, yeah, so stuff's going on. So... But yeah, please come and see that show. It's at the Pleasance on the 24th, 25th and 26th. If you're at the Edinburgh Festival, come see me. I'm really enjoying it. And you know what? For the first time, I'm going out and I'm really enjoying just being me and chatting and letting that just happen. I think this podcast has helped it. So if the podcast doesn't end up being this huge hit that I hope it will, at least it's given me that. It's given me this way of just chatting to the crowd and not being scared and not feeling like I'm doing a bad thing. I know that sounds nuts to anyone else probably, but last night I've always wanted to be like Frankie Howard. I think he was my first comedy hero. I love the way he goes out and he can just sort of say, oh no, oh don't you dare and all that stuff. And I wasn't doing an impression of Frankie Howard, but I was really enjoying just saying, no, stop, come on, and all that kind of stuff, which is very Anna Mann to the audience, as in sort of building up this hysteria of it's just silliness. And I love sort of giving the audience as if they've got an agenda, as if I'm reading what they're thinking. Absolute bullshit, of course, but it meant, do you know what it really means, comedians, if there are any comedians listening, if you can find that kind of voice, it's lovely because you don't have to write anywhere near as much material. Oh, thank you. Right, circling back. So, yes, I think the show is starting to work for me, this show. Something's happening. I'm starting to trusting it. I accept it. We'll see where it leads. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. What's happened since I last recorded? The first load of episodes I recorded in advance. We're now down to the wire of trying to record them the day before. Very stupid. Don't do that, ADHD boy. So I'll try not to do that. But yeah, so Sinead O'Connor died. That fucked me up. Not to make it about me. I mean, there's only me, but I loved Sinead O'Connor. I really didn't. I didn't realise how much I did. Do you know what? There's like that whole period of my life I'd forgotten. I used to listen to her loads. Do you know the song, I'm Here to Mother You? I'm here to mother you. It's really beautiful. He says, when your nights are lonely, when your dreams are only blue, this is to mother you, that one. The song called This Is to Mother You, not I'm Here to Mother You. What a campaigner, what a truth teller. We were on a little holiday, just a few days in an Airbnb, when she died, and it completely threw me. My emotional dysregulation is a thing a lot of people who are autistic and ADHD have. I found the emotions were very blocked all my life. I think I've talked about this before. And after I discovered the ADHD and working through it through writing and performing and therapy and blah, 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 a lot of it's uncorked now, and it's quite hard to regulate it, which is tricky when you're going round a place called Monkey World. I don't know if you've been to Monkey World. It's wonderful. I think they do a lot of good conservation stuff, rescuing apes. It's mainly apes. Should be called Ape World. Doesn't sound as good, I know. But we went to Monkey World, and when you're walking around Monkey World and you keep thinking about Sinead O'Connor and her life and what she was, what she represented, and the sheer unfairness and the hideousness of the world, and just hearing that song in your head, and you struggle to stop crying, and you're looking at some orangutans. It's quite tricky. It's quite tricky. I had to go off to get a coffee for a bit because I was there with the kids and my wife and my sister-in-law and her kids and... And I was really struggling to hold it back. Fuck, man. And I couldn't really explain. Well, I mean, I understand why, but it when that emotional dysregulation hits. And you know what? Fuck it. Let it out, man. Feel it. If you can't be sad when an absolute legend dies, you know, when can you be sad? So I went to get a coffee, and then I got quite scared of what, I'm going to say this, and I apologise if it offends, but the sort of Brexity face, I've come to call it in my mind, it's the face, it's the sort of judgy face where after Brexit happened, I'm sorry if you're a big Brexit fan, to be honest, if you got this far, I doubt you are, but I felt when Brexit happened, suddenly this swathe of willful ignorance that had been unleashed. That's what I felt, sort of deep-seated anger that a lot of people have, it turns out. And I understand why. I sort of understand why they have it. You know, I do understand the reasons. I don't think it came from nowhere. But just suddenly this fear, this sense that others are, you know what I mean? Everyone's angry that people are getting something that I should be getting. My hard work's not getting rewarded. People are just getting stuff for nothing. I'm sick of it. I want to take it back, blah, 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 all that. And that's just everywhere. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying Monkey World is like that. And certainly not the orangutans. They're quite the opposite. If anything, they're very reflective creatures. Actually, they're a bit more brutal than you think. I think watching them move around, they're like, oh, that could rip my head off. And probably should. But I went into the cafe and suddenly got this, the Brexit face fear. Oh God, I can't believe I'm saying that. Oh God, the fascists will come for me. But I feel like it's that look, do you know what I mean? That kind of angry, like, what are you doing? Where does it come from? Oh God, I'm not explaining myself very well. It's that willful ignorance. It's that kind of like, because it's very anti-emotion. It's very anti-feelings, it's very anti-woke, all that stuff. It's just a kind of hard, fucking, annoyed, and yeah, why are you crying in the middle of Monkey World? Full disclosure, circling back, I didn't cry, you know, I wasn't there bawling. I wasn't on my knees wailing, but I was... I just, you know, when you kind of get that thing, you're like, oh, you know, you can't quite speak because it's, anyway, I don't think anyone really saw, but I got it really in my head. God, I don't come at me about the Brexit face thing, please. It's not even mine. I think Jonathan Pye talked about it first, the Brexit face. Anyway, fun. I was in Manchester. And that was fun. I was filming a little thing and I went to XS Malarkey. Wonderful gig. Did some new material there. Joe Lycett was on before. What? I love him, obviously. And he loves me and we love each other. He showed me an app called What We Feel. Oh, God. If you can hear shouting downstairs, right? My daughter has discovered the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Specifically, a movie that came out a few years ago. It's on Netflix. It's called Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it's a movie of that. It looks pretty good. She has watched it in 3 days. She has watched it twice every day, and once three times. That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times she's watched it in the last 3 days. It can't be that good, can it? And she shouts out at the telly, reminiscent of my dad screaming at Thatcher in the 1980s through the TV. I don't think she could hear him. She screams at Leonardo, Raphael, sort yourselves out. Anyway, so if you hear that, that's what's going on downstairs. I'm sorry for this situation. I explained the internet, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, Joe Lycett suggested I look at a wonderful app called How We Feel, where you mark how you feel at specific times. I talked before, I think, about the different colours. So it does a similar thing. Orange, sort of orange-yellow, is it calls high energy pleasant. Red is high energy unpleasant. Blue is low energy unpleasant. Green is low energy pleasant. And you mark what you're feeling at that time and who you're with and where you are, and it automatically records the weather and you put how much sleep you've had. And if nothing else, it then gives you an analysis. If nothing else, it sort of goes, you see, oh, cool, right. So when I'm doing that, I'm happy. When I'm doing that, I'm not happy, you know, or I'm pleasant, I'm comfortable. And then you have a range of feelings you can pick. So it's not just angry, you know, it's annoyed, irritated, peeved. It's not just happy, it's ecstatic, excited, curious, loved, you know. And it's really good to be able to name your emotions, to really name them. Brené Brown talks about this a lot, not just to say, oh, I'm a bit angry at the minute, I'm a bit annoyed, you know, or not even annoyed, you know, but to really pinpoint what that feeling you're having. And then you can pinpoint why, and then you can find a way to help it or to have more of it. Anyway, Excess Malarkey was a lot of fun. I did have a moment with Toby Haydock, isn't it? Fuck, brain, it's gone. Lovely man who runs it. And I sort of, he was being quite funny because he was up on stage and he was going on and he was being very funny because he's a funny man, but he was going on and on and on introducing Joe and then me. And it really made me laugh because it very reminiscent of this podcast. Just as it was like he was about to bring us on, he'd then go on a diversion about the room or the next gig they're doing or their website or whatever. It was quite incredible. Even for me, that was quite incredible how, you know, we were each waiting a good 11 minutes from the point where he said, start clapping, to the point where he said, here comes Joe Lycett or Colin Holt. We were chatting about it afterwards, but when I got up, I said, does anyone know if he's been diagnosed yet? Which got a bit of a laugh, but I immediately felt bad, obviously, and I thought, that's not okay, is it, just to say that? But anyway, I came away really concerned about it, worried about it, and then but you know what, I thought, I'm going to message him, because otherwise it just lingers, doesn't it? I do that a lot, it lingers a lot, like a bad smell. But I messaged him and I said, sorry if that wasn't okay to say that, you know. And he said, oh, not at all, not at all, you know, and we had a lovely chat about it. So that was good. So if you feel like, I had a similar thing last night at the gig where I was chatting to a guy who's autistic and ADHD, and I was sort of joking, I was being quite, you know, I do have this, still have this slight, quite acerbic, Anna-man-like, where I'm sort of friendly and jolly, but also taking the piss, you know. And there was a point where I was like, oh, is this not okay? You know, but then he came up to me afterwards and he said, I know it sounds like a brag. I don't think it sounds like a brag. But he came up and he said, thank you for doing that. The way you did it is right. So that's good, isn't it? We need a break. Come on. We need a break. Shredder's attacking. Fuck.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Into the Neuroverse. And don't forget, if you like this, to like it and review it and to tell your friends. That would be lovely. And also, if you want to support it, you can go to patreon.com/Colin Holt and give me a pound or two if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, don't you bloody dare. We are in a cost of living crisis. Or as I saw someone put on the internet the other day, I don't claim to own this, but it was a very good phrase. We're not in a cost of living crisis. We're in a corporate greed crisis. God, that's good, isn't it? Why don't I come up with stuff like that? Why am I just talking about circling back? I'd love to. Is there a world where I come up with phrases like that? No. It's too late for coffee, but it's got to be done. So, what are we talking about? So, on our journey into the Nearerverse, we go to strange and interesting new realms, and this is the Forest of Forbidden Phrases. Ooh. You might be able to hear my son. He's playing Jurassic World Alive on his phone, and he likes to shout out things like, "I got you, Allosaurus!" Just pay it no mind. Pay it no mind. God knows we don't. Bless him. Yes. So this is a thing I wrote recently. I've got other stuff that I've written. It's much, much clearer, much better. But because of the situation with the internet, this is all very... It's normally much better than this, all right? I feel like I'm doing one of those work-in-progress shows where you keep going, this will be a lot better. But here we go. So, forbidden phrases. I was... God, I can hear him talking about the Allosaurus. Anyway, that's fine. So I was thinking about the phrase making love and how it really makes me giggle, like it just did then. And how I feel like saying making love, it's very hard to say. And I think there might be a thing when you're neurodiverse where there's certain phrases just feel like, I can't say that, that's too weird for me. But what else do you say? Having sex? You know, that's not as... I told you it'd get saucy, but that's not as lovely, is it, as saying making love. So it's the forest of forbidden phrases, those things that just make you feel strangely uncomfortable. And I think with neurodiversity, there can be this fear, this uncomfortableness with owning certain things that the rest of the world takes for granted, that has... for themselves, and these things aren't forbidden to us, they're forbidden by us, maybe. Autism is a spectrum and everyone's very, very different on it. Yes, so this uncomfortableness with what the world takes for normal, and sometimes I think it can make you seem very aloof, and people respond in that sort of like, oh, he didn't say it right, did he? Or he's not. Oh, he didn't say thank you. Or he didn't. I keep thinking about, you know, when you walk past people, right? And it's a particular, perhaps a particular age and era, and they sort of move out the way for you or hold the door for you or something. And so I often say thank you, but I don't think I've said it enough. Do you know what I mean? And they'll go, thank you. You know, when people do that thing. But what I tend to do, because of this stuff, what makes me laugh is they'll do that, you know, thank you, you know, being very sarcastic, and I'll not clock at all that they're being sarcastic. I often don't clock sarcasm at all. I'll be honest, as a comedian, I often don't get jokes. I don't get most jokes, but they'll go, thank you. And I'll go, oh, that's all right. And then they look really annoyed, and I get more annoyed. The Brexit face comes out, but they either get more annoyed or they just get they just walk away a bit baffled, you know. I remember it happening. We were coming down these huge steps at Robin Hood Bay. Have you ever been to Robin Hood Bay? Which is Nottingham, weirdly. That's very hard to say, isn't it? There's a song that goes, not in Nottingham. Anyway, I remember walking down the steps, and it was a real, like, kind of, there's these huge steps that go down to the sea, and it was a real kind of awkward, you know, getting round people. And I think we had the kids, and we were trying to get round this woman coming back, and she says, oh, thank you, like this. But it was a really odd one, because there was no need to, like, move out of my way. It was one of those where it was like she had to make the point that she was moving out the way, even though she didn't need to move out. It was a very weird situation. And I did the, oh, not a problem, you know. And she actually, in that case, I think, said something like, you could move, you know, or something, you know, or I did move for you, or whatever. And then I ruined the whole day because I spent the whole day just on that massive edge because of the, well, Robin Hood Bay, for a start, is quite an edge. But I got into this, you know, this quite animalistic thing can take over you sometimes, can't it? When you realise you've been insulted without knowing you've been insulted. Oh, God. Right, we've gone on a tangent there. But anyway, you know, those kind of things, they just don't always make sense to us, I think. And then we're sort of quite vulnerable because people think we're being mean or rude or aloof, and we're not. We just haven't clocked that that's what's happening. I was at this wedding have I talked about this? Sometimes I think I've said all this before. It's very possible. I was at this wedding once, is how you say it correctly. We were sat at this table, and there was a sort of, it was a very Tory wedding. I won't go into any further details, but there was this mum and her husband and daughter, and they were all quite unpleasant, I won't lie. But I didn't, at the clock at that point, I was like, oh, hello, hello, you know, and I was chatting to someone, and they made these jokes, I think were jokes, but neither me nor my wife clocked that they were jokes. Probably they were just being mean Tories. But anyway, they sort of like, ha, 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 and we didn't, and they sort of looked as if we should have laughed. Oh, it's the horrible, have you had that moment where someone tells a joke and then look at you as if you should laugh now, why aren't you laughing? And you go, and I just didn't know what to respond. I didn't. God, they must have hated me so much. I didn't know how to respond at all. And then the sort of someone came over later who was a part of the wedding, went, how's it all going over here? Everyone getting on all right? And the mother of the Tories family just sort of went, no, not great, actually, like this. And I suddenly, it was only at that point I clocked. They hated us because we got it wrong. Great. Okay, I think this is really good content, and I think you're really enjoying it. Anyway, so I've talked before about the common sense thing, right? The common sense. Common sense. Come on, mate, it's common sense. It's fucking common sense, isn't it? It's common sense, you know, that kind of thing. And the common sense thing, I don't get. It just makes me think, when people talk about common sense, it makes me think of like pissed up blokes in pubs that I was dragged to as a kid, right? And who would just talk, well, it's common sense, isn't it? It's common sense, mate. It's common sense. Of course it is. Of course it's that. Of course, you know, of course they're coming over here and taking all our jobs, that sort of thing. Of course it is. It makes sense, mate. It's common sense. And I remember really clocking, right? And probably with the benefit of hindsight, I probably wasn't this clever as a kid, but I remember clocking that the whole blokes who talk about things being common sense was absolute bollocks. When there was this one dude, this drunk fat twat, right? Sorry, it doesn't matter that he was fat, but you know, he was waffling on about common sense. It's common sense, mate. You know, they're coming over here, taking our job. They're not like us, or whatever it was. And then he told me, and then he saw that I had a Batman figure or a Batman t-shirt or a Batman comic or whatever. Batman comic it probably was. And he saw us ready. He went, he said in the new film, right? The new film, what's coming out? Batman 2. Which actually became Batman Returns. When Batman 2 comes out, Vicky Vale, Kim Basinger, is going to be Robin. Vicky Vale, Kim Basinger is going to be Robin. And I was like, I don't think it is. And it's like, yeah, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. I'm not saying he was saying that was common sense, but it made me go, oh, okay, if you believe that, because that's just not going to be the truth, is it? I know Tim Burton made some very interesting choices with his Batman movies, as did Schumacher, as did Nolan. But casting Kim Basinger, who was Vicky Vale, as Robin, I mean, that would be really weird, wouldn't it? I mean, the whole Batman and Robin situation's pretty weird already. I mean, to then make his actual love interest become Robin, just a very weird thing that obviously isn't true. So at that point I went, oh, okay, those blokes who talk about common sense are probably always talking bullshit. If he's talking bullshit about Batman 2, he's probably talking bullshit in everything he said. It was a watershed moment for me, you know. And I think what's known as common sense is often just all the stupid shit that people have agreed must be true because, you know, people don't want to face reality. They don't, they want to go back to all those superstitious bullshit. You know, people use common sense to explain why, as I say, why immigrants aren't welcome. You know, there's no room for them. There's no room for them here. People used to use common sense to burn women as witches. Of course she's a witch. Of course she's a witch, mate. It's common sense, isn't it? She's a witch. Why else would my milk turn bad after she walked past it? Right? And the moment after I told her to move her cows, I got a boil on my bum, right? She's a witch. It's obvious. It's common sense. I admit a lot of my understanding of that period of time is coming from comedy shows like Blackadder and so on. But, you know, anyway, yes, common sense. As a neurodiverse person, I'm very suspicious of what's known as common sense. But it makes me very suspicious of things which are normal and nice. Like I say, phrases like, we make love. I don't know, it just feels weird. It just, I find it very hard to get my head around it. I get really embarrassed saying it. It's sad. I, you know, I mean, I don't want to walk around going, hey guys, we just made love. But, you know, me and my wife refer to it with all sorts of bizarre names just so we don't have to say the phrase, we made love. Is it because I just feel it's not for me in this forest of forbidden phrases? You know, that I don't own that phrase, it's from another world? Or just things, right, for a long time I found it very hard to just say I was a comedian, right? So when I first started gigging, it was in double act with Fergus, Colin and Fergus, and we went all around doing these gigs, and, you know, we'd get to this gig, wherever it was. We did some funny places. We did this place, God, I can't remember what it's called now, but it was like infamous. It was an agricultural college student union. It was infamous for just being absolutely dreadful as a gig. And at that time we'd done one Edinburgh, and we'd done really well, you know, but in an Edinburgh festival kind of sense, not in an agricultural college student union. God, I'm coming off such a fucking snob today, aren't I? I really am, and I apologize. No, I don't, actually, I don't. But we it was so bad. We were meant to do 40 minutes, and then another comedian, Steve Williams, was meant to do 40 minutes, and we did so badly. We did about 12 minutes and just walked off. And Steve just went, don't worry, I've got this. And then took over. And he was much more, you know, much more skilled at dealing with that sort of crowd. I remember at one point he got a man on stage and got him to drink his own piss. It was that sort of level. And me and Ferg were doing quite nuanced sketches. At one point we were doing this sketch called Dump Me, which was very good. It was very good. You know, it's quite sad to me that we'd moved on. Even though it all came from me, I completely wrecked it. I'll say that here and now, hand on heart, I wrecked that double act. I really did. And it's quite sad that a lot of... I mean, some of it you can see on YouTube, like the theatre group sketch we did. But a lot of it's just lost in time, you know, like it never happened. Oh, well. And some of it was great. We had a great sketch called Dump Me, which was where we were a couple, which was achingly progressive. Couldn't do that now, though, could you? Because we weren't a couple. Anyway... But we were playing a couple, and he says, you're going to dump me, aren't you? And I'm like, no. Why would you think that? And he goes, everyone just dumps me. I know you're going to dump me. And then it goes on and on and on and on until he's like actively trying to get me to dump him. Do you know what I mean? Because like, dump me, dump me, dump me, dump me, dump me, like this. And then they go, all right, fine, you're dumped. And he goes, you bastard. Fergus was very, he's very... He still is. He's not dead. He's very skilled at, I don't know, just nailing those sort of, the mania of that kind of thinking, paranoid thinking, you know? He's very good at just kind of observing it and getting it. Wonderful. Anyway, we were doing that sketch at one point, and we were chatting in this agricultural student union. You know, in my mind, it was like the Wild West, darlings. It was like the wild, you know, beer pints being thrown around and stuff, and people fighting. But I remember specifically at one point, the stage, it wasn't a stage, it was just a corner of the room. But the stage, we'll call it the stage, the toilet was directly behind it. So to go to it, you had to walk... They cleverly put it there, so to go to the toilet, you had to walk through the stage area. And I remember the point where we were doing, holding these microphones, just talking to each other, doing this dump me sketch, and someone just walked between us to the toilet as we were just walked straight between, as if he had no idea we were there. It was a very weird feeling. And we both just started laughing. I think that was the point where we left it. Anyway, Ferg was, he always wanted to be a comedian, I think. Before, I don't think I ever really wanted to be a comedian. I've sort of ended up doing it now. And it was sort of a means to an end for me, I suppose. And now it's sort of become the end. But I do love it. I do, you know, I've grown to love it. I really have. But Ferg, we get to these gigs and Fergus would, he'd sort of, I deferred to him quite a lot back then, if I'm honest. I felt like I was sort of trotting after him. Do you know what I mean? I was always, he would always sort of storm ahead with confidence and stuff. That's how it felt to me. Probably he felt the opposite. But he was sort of storming ahead. Here we are, we're here, come on, let's go. You know, and I'd sort of trot along behind. I was very often late, which must have been very annoying. Very annoying. God, I wasted a lot of that time. Do you know what I mean? I remember I was going to the BBC when it was the old place, the sort of Donuts it was called. And all that time we were wandering. I mean, a lot of it was just empty rooms. Like a lot of it was just felt very, even it did feel like the end. Even then, it felt like it was coming down. Do you know what I mean? The offices were often just empty and no one was doing anything, really. It felt like that. It felt like a sort of store cupboards. Weird. But still, yeah, Ferg would go in very trum. He'd know where he was going. And I'd always be late, so he'd be always annoyed. Bless him. And we'd get to these places and he'd say, oh, we're the comedians. As in, you know, we're the comedians. We are tonight's entertainment. We are your strippers. But he'd say, we're the comedians, you know, with that kind of confidence. We're the comedians. Hi, we're the comedians. And I'd just giggle, which used to annoy him quite a lot. Rightly, hand on heart, you know, this isn't complaining about Fergus at all. This was very, I am annoying. But he, yeah, and I couldn't, I don't know why I couldn't own the word comedians. I was like, oh, not me, God, I'm not. But it's, I know you're thinking it's imposter syndrome, but it's not quite the same as that. It's more like almost feeling like aspects of life, words, authority, commitment, they don't belong to us. Maybe. They don't belong to us. So sometimes I have to say to myself, I am a comedian. I have to look at myself in the mirror and go, I'm a comedian. Not in a kind of like, I'm a tiger, you know, like Alan Partridge, I'm a tiger. But just sort of going, I'm a comedian. I'm here to make you laugh. I think that in my mind. And I'm here to have fun. And I'm funny. I've been gigging for 20 years. I still go to gigs. I sit there and I go, oh, but I don't know how to be funny. What, I don't know what people want. What do people want? Oh God, I did it last night. That gig last night, new material, 10 minutes. You know? I'm learning, the more I'm being myself, the more I am learning this element of like, oh, it's okay, it is me, I've got this, you've got this, Cole. But it's still this sort of fear of like, God, they don't want to see me, they don't want to see this. So I don't know if you feel the same in whatever you do. There's other phrases like, just when people say something like, oh, I'll be out your hair in a minute, I'll be out your hair in a minute. I always start laughing when people say that. Not because it's a funny phrase that they're in my hair or anything. Well, that's quite funny. But like, just this art. I don't understand how people own these phrases. So yeah, I think as a neurodiverse person, it's maybe just another aspect of feeling lonely in the world and feeling like you don't belong when you just can't. I hope I've explained myself well. I don't think I've really come across well with this one. I don't think I've really explained it very well. But where you just struggle to own these things that are considered normal and ordinary. And it's why I have struggled to stay in double acts and groups and everything. Well, one of the many reasons is I don't know how to connect with what is taken for granted, what is common sense, what is normal and ordinary to most people. But you can populate this forest. Rather than it being full of stuff you don't understand, you can reflect on it and find your own way to understand it. And words actually have immense power, of course, you know. And like Fergus going, we are the comedians. Yes, I am the comedian. And another thing you can do, and which I've done in the past, I do a lot before I go on stage nowadays, and before I've got to do something like an audition or something, you know, playing a Space Marine, pew, 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 I go, I've come up with these words, and because I'm a horrific geek, as you know, I've connected them to X-Men in my mind because I love the X-Men. But anyway, I think of these words and I sort of tap my tummy, the solar plexus, just tap it, and I say the words. The words are strength, energy, conviction, commitment, consideration, courage, hope, joy. These are things I want to own and have and be and feel. And my son has just won at Jurassic World Alive, I think. But he's really owning his dinosaurs, you know. There, he's got it. He's got it. He's got his forest. So I fill the forest with these words: strength, okay, energy, conviction, commitment, consideration, courage, hope, joy. And what those words mean, what those trees grow into, can be different for everyone. Sometimes they're different for me from day to day, but just saying these things to myself before I have to do a thing which I know is going to be overwhelming or stressful. Often it's not even doing gigs and stuff, because to be honest, gigs, even though I'm beforehand, I'm like, oh God, I'm really good at this. I'm flying. I'm having fun. That's where I come alive. It's often just normal things like having to go camping or having to deal with Neighbours or something, you know. Not the TV show Neighbours. I can deal with that in my bloody sleep. I really can. But with actual Neighbours, you know, so strength, energy, conviction, commitment, consideration, courage, hope, joy. Just say it a few times to yourself. You may have completely different words. A little tip for you. I hope that helps. I'm sorry this is very dashed off. Stop apologising, Colin. All right. It's not my best work. It's really not. And please don't judge me on this. But as I say, it's a very last minute. And considering we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Jurassic World going on, the internet's fucked. And this isn't what we intended to do. I think we did all right. We got through it. I hope I haven't really upset Brexit people. Oh, how cowardly of me. Do you know what? I hope I have upset Brexit people. What were you bloody thinking, you silly sausages? Please do sponsor me on the Patreon if you want to. Any money obviously helps me keep doing this. I'm still getting round to doing the Animan thing. Book tickets at thepleasance.com or at birksnest.com for Colin Holt's work in progress. And as I say, please like, share, and tell your friends and all that. You can email me at colinholtcomedy@gmail.com. This is all again at the end anyway, don't worry about it. But please keep sending your comments. I've had quite a few and they're really nice. I know it's, you know, it's early days. We're not having huge audiences or anything. I haven't really got a producer or backers or anything like that at the minute, or even a studio, which is the next big thing I think we need. So it's slowly growing, but it's really nice to get your feedback and to let me know I'm not being completely off track and hideously insulting. Take care, my friends. Strength, energy, conviction, commitment, consideration, courage, hope, and joy to you all. Thank you for listening to Into the Neuroverse with me, Colin Holt. You can find me on Twitter at Colin Holt, on Instagram at Colin Holt Comedy. You can support the podcast if you like it and want to keep it going. Money is the best way to keep things going. Go to patreon.com/Colin Holt and you can pay me anything up to £1 billion a week. And I will happily take it. Any more than that is just greedy. A big thank you to at Eyes on Legs, who did the music for this. So find him on Twitter and so on if you want to get him to do music for you. At Ed Shots, who did the original photograph. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your support. And please do rate, subscribe, review, and like wherever you can. And I'll keep doing this as long as anyone's interested. That could include myself. I do lose interest very quickly. Also, make sure you check out my website. I am colinholt.com for all the latest news. Contact United Agents if you want to book me for any gigs or acting work or dancing work. I'm actually a very good dancer, or anything like that. Or if you want to contact me direct, it's colinholtcomedy@gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.